likely that Rex Tillerson, CEO of ExxonMobil, will be the next Secretary of State, already approved by the committee, now the full Senate vote. Your response?
You know, for a long time, we have fought against and been very concerned about the influence of fossil fuel money in our democracy. This appointment is just stunning in terms of an absolute complete merger with our government and the biggest fossil fuel industries in the country. It just shows that the onus on making sure that things are handled appropriately is now on the people. More than ever before, we need to be awake, we need to be alert, and we need to be involved.
Annie Leonard, I want to thank you very much for being with us, Executive Director of Greenpeace USA, and that does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Dina Guzder, Sam Alkoff, Robbie Karen, Honey Massoud, Sharina Ndura, Andre Lewis, Mike DeFilippo, Paul Huckabee, our engineer. Special thanks to John Hamilton, Dennis Moynihan, Nicole Salazar, Renee Feltz, Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Hugh Grant, and to the whole team here at Park City Television. I'm Amy Goodman from Park City, Utah.
Here goes nothing.
Tune in to KBOO for Drinking from Puddles, hosted by Brandon, every other Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Don't say what you mean. That's Drinking from Puddles, every other Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Yeah.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing, featuring women's clothing, jewelry, accessories, and gifts with a focus on U.S.-made and certified fair trade natural fiber clothing since 1984. Gazelle is located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont and at GazelleNaturalFiberClothing.com.
Race.
right, Billy Bragg gets us started off today on Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO Community Radio. My name is Paul Rowan. I'm with you all by my lonesome today to talk about, well, what are we going to do about it? They are bound to lose eventually. We all know that. The question is, how much more damage are they going to wreak before they inevitably collapse in their own devastation? And the sub-question, parenthetically, is, do we even all those of us listening to my voice, all those of us who consider ourselves progressives, leftists, not even just leftists, people who believe in truth, decency, whatever, do we really understand collectively what is actually going on? Do I understand it? I don't know. I'm going to give you some of my thoughts, and I hope you all will join me at 503-231-8187. And I'm really looking for people who haven't been calling in the last few weeks. I know there are a lot of people who never call in. There's, you know, frankly, about maybe like no more than 10 or a dozen people who actually call in on a regular or semi-regular basis. And I actually, out in the community, meet not infrequently people who sometimes they just hear my voice in conversation. Oh, I've heard your voice, which is slightly embarrassing, I gotta say. But I say, I always leave them with, please call in. You have something to say. I really do want this to be a community conversation, an ongoing, a building community conversation. Now more than ever, we need to understand together what is happening and act together to confront, resist, rebel, revolt, overturn, whatever your preferred verb might be. But we have to understand what's happening. We have to shake ourselves out of the cobwebs that tend to build up in our minds and the ossified patterns that we tend to fall into mentally and habitually. We have to shake ourselves loose from, perhaps from our tried and true ways of thinking about things, relating to things. Maybe this really is something different. I believe it's pretty much a continuation of the same thing, but it's something at a different level. So, fascism? Is it fascism? Is it not fascism? Is that important? I'm going to talk about that. I want to read some from an article that Naomi Klein just put out. Get ready for the first shocks of Trump's disaster capitalism. I finally started reading her book, The Shock Doctrine, The Rise of Disaster Capitalism. Came out in, I think, 2007 or 8. It's a fairly imposing, thick book. But I think just reading the first couple chapters is well worth it. And I think just going to the internet and looking up, get ready for the first shocks of Trump's disaster capitalism, is also something that you might consider doing. This idea of getting on the same page is, again, more important now than ever. Millions of people marching, 100,000 people marching here in Portland on Saturday is an important thing. It's still not acting really in unison. Marching together is one thing, but doing what it really takes, and I don't know, what is it going to take? The old idea of everybody acting from wherever they are, doing, contributing in whatever way, is that going to be enough? Do we need a more serious coordination of efforts? I put out the idea of the popular front, which was the popular front against fascism. during World War II, where people put aside their traditional political rivalries and got together to actually physically fight. We haven't come to that point yet. Will it come to that point? I don't know. Does it need to come to that point? Is that something we can even talk about on the radio? I don't know. I know that there's going to be serious threats to this form of media. There are already talk of completely privatizing the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And we are not, I believe we might be getting some grants again from them. For many, many years we didn't. We're relatively independent from that. But of course, NPR depends on that. And I hear a bit of more of a confrontational voice on OPB and NPR recently. Maybe it's because they think they're going to be out of a job in a few weeks or months. Who knows? The way the pace at which things are going, you know, I don't know if you heard Democracy Now!, but the executive orders on the KXL and the Dakota Access Pipeline, the gag rules sent out to EPA and other federal agencies, I've got some articles right out here. I'm sure you have more. Before we go to our first caller, Mike, let me just read a couple of announcements. So today, starting at 9 a.m. at City Hall, there will be a memorial for the Portland baby who died on our streets. The community will come together to mourn the death of this baby who died in the cold on our streets. Our current system failed this baby's mother and her baby. This was the fifth person to die on our streets since Mayor Wheeler has been in office. We'll come together to reflect on why this is still happening and we'll demand answers from the city. On January 12th, we had a funeral procession in front of City Hall. We brought with us a list of demands that can be seen at a Facebook page, and I will put that on my page at kbo.fm/Wednesday Talk Radio after the show. So that's at City Hall, starting at 9 a.m. downtown Southwest 4th Avenue. And I was downtown for a emergency rally in support of Standing Rock last evening. 50-some people were there at the time I left. But this Saturday from 12 to 2 at Holiday City Park, 1100 Northeast Holiday there at the Lloyd Center, in the spirit of Standing Rock Rally with Trump's executive order, many stand strong with the water protectors come to Holiday Park to stand together and speak out against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Bring unity and awareness to the latest concerns. What happens now? Come find out from people who are close to leadership and people on the ground. Safety and protection of water protectors is needed. That's on Saturday. If you have any announcements yourself, we need to use this vehicle to get out the word of what's happening to create more unity and more solidarity in action. So give us a call at 503-231-8187. Their first caller is Mike. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I wanted to do a brief description of what is fascism. But first, I want to talk about NPR real quickly, okay?
Go ahead.
All right. NPR used to be really dependable and really good news, and somewhere in the 80s or the 90s, their funding went away, and suddenly their news changed completely, and they went way off track, and I don't trust them much anymore.
Well, I agree with you. Yeah, no, that's that was Reagan's doing. You know, you can't dismiss them completely because they do have some decent programming. You know,
yeah, they do.
And you know, some people just don't waste their time with the news. You know, I'm just a kind of a radio head, so to speak. But everybody makes their own choices. But I think not having them might well be worse than having them potentially. So anyway.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead.
But they became really disappointing at that time. Okay, really quickly, I want to spend a second here. What is a description of fascism? Fascism is a combination, a nexus of government and big business, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I want to ask a question and have you comment on it. What does religion have to do with it? Is religion involved in it too? Does that make a, you know, I want a description of the nexus of what is fascism?
Fascism is corporatism, as you said, is the alliance of corporations and government without any real separation between them, which basically we've had already to a large extent for several decades, and it just keeps getting worse. And this is just basically erasing all final distinctions, is my view of what's happening right now. It's a corporate coup d'etat is what's happening.
But I think religion has had or advertise, you know, radio religion has had something to do with it too. Like somehow the message of the religious people are getting mixed up in this, and the pro-lifers and all this malarkey.
Well, I mean, you know, in the United States, it has a particular form, and the so-called religious right, the fundamentalists, as it were, one of the elements is the anti-abortion platform. There's a number of other crucial ones, anti-gay. Go ahead.
I don't want to take up a bunch of your time, but I want to give you a real quick description of what's going on the radio. I live in Longview. And KBOO is 90.7. On the very left of it, there's a real powerful religious station. On the right of it's a real powerful religious station. I can barely get you guys up here.
Well, that's probably because you're at a certain angle or distance from our tower up in the West Hills. And
But I think the religious, they've got so many broadcasts on.
Oh,
so
yeah, no, that's true. That's true. There's no doubt about it. And right-wing AM talk radio is, for the hinterlands that maybe don't get so much FM, they tend to get, you know, and they have a wide, wide influence. It's very true.
Right. Well, I'd like to hear some callers call in and see if they can, people more intelligent than me, can maybe clarify this a little bit, because we're in a pickle here. We're in a real bind. I mean, it's going to take all of us together to ward this off. This is a nightmare, worse than a nightmare.
It's true. Well, thank you for calling, and I would recommend internet radio if you want a better signal. Internet radio, there's fairly inexpensive ones.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Will
well,
do.
Thank you so much
thank
for calling.
You. Thank you.
Let me just read a paragraph from this before we go to our next caller, which I believe is Sylvia. This is from Naomi Klein. Get ready for the first shocks of Trump's disaster capitalism. We already know that the Trump administration plans to deregulate markets, wage all-out war on radical Islamic terrorism, trash climate science, and unleash a fossil fuel frenzy. It's a vision that can be counted on to generate a tsunami of crises and shocks. Economic shocks as market bubbles burst, security shocks as blowback from foreign belligerents comes home, weather shocks as our climate is further destabilized, and industrial shocks as oil pipelines spill and rigs collapse, which they tend to do, especially when enjoying light touch regulation. As we know, that's rampant, massive, sudden deregulation is one of the things that Trump is doing right now, making it easier for pipelines to be built, and who knows what's next. All this is dangerous enough, she says. That was my little insert there. What's even worse is the way the Trump administration can be counted on to exploit these shocks politically and economically. Speculation is unnecessary. All that's required is a little knowledge of recent history. 10 years ago, I published, this is Naomi Klein, The Shock Doctrine, a history of the ways in which crises have been systematically exploited over the last half century to further a radical pro-corporate agenda. The book begins and ends with the response to Hurricane Katrina because it stands as such a harrowing blueprint for disaster capitalism. That's relevant because of the central, if little recalled, role played by the man who is now the U.S. Vice President, Mike Pence. At the time Katrina hit New Orleans, Pence was chairman of the powerful and highly ideological Republican Study Committee. On September 13th, 2005, just 14 days after the levees were breached and with parts of New Orleans still underwater, the RSC convened a fateful meeting at the offices of the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C. Under Pence's leadership, their group came up with a list of pro-free market ideas for responding to Hurricane Katrina and high gas prices. 32 policies in all, each one straight out of the disaster capitalism playbook. To get a sense of how the Trump administration will respond to their first crises, it's worth reading the list in full and noting Pence's name right at the bottom. And I'll end that right there. And you got to go read this. Get ready for the first shocks of Trump's disaster capitalism. I know this is tough. I know people are going to be reacting in various ways of depression, of anxiety, of denial, of evasion, of whatever your weak spot might be emotionally. We need to do whatever it takes to get the support we need personally in our lives and stop being so individualist. I mean, it's the challenge to break free of our individualism at a time when we tend to retreat into our individual selves is a big one, I admit. So there's so many levels of how we're going to have to get over all these things that we've been conditioned into by this unfortunate society we live in. Let's go to our next caller. Sylvia, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for the program. I hope this time I can talk better than I did last time. I don't do well with...
Go ahead. Just get started and see how it goes.
Okay. I don't know how much time you're going to give me. I'm always dismissed anywhere, which doesn't...
Well, if you keep talking like that and don't get started...
Okay. My approach to... I work directly with Mother Earth. I work with the rocks and with the water, and that's been going on for many years. I follow her instructions and what she wants. It's on a spiritual level. And my biggest opposition here is Metro. I work along Johnson Creek, and that's where the Earth wanted me. I don't want to go into the details. That's been going on for years. And I get all these messages about anything that goes on the planet. I'm allergic to all the electronics, so I cannot deal with any of that. I can only talk to a person directly. And Mother Earth has given me plenty of whatever, okay, and what's going on. And at this point, of course, things are really, really escalating, and Metro was there again the other day and to spray the first batch of poison. You know, they do that systematically. I've been fighting them for years, and now I guess I better really ratchet up, and I've talked to them, and they need to wake up. I said the place where I have the rock people that is in direct connection with Standing Rock, because I get it from the rock people. And on Thanksgiving, they told me, the rocks, that is, said, do not let them poison again. Well, so Metro came on Monday, and they sprayed the first round of poison, and I just raised the roof. And
so what are we going to do about it?
What I do it by personally. Okay, there's one particular person who's the manager for that whole area, and I've also told her, get me some volunteers, because I've been trimming things all along by hand. There is no reason to poison anything.
So, Sylvia, I think this is not necessarily directly germane to the general thrust of the conversation I was hoping to have, which is, what are we collectively going to do about the...
Well,
this
is why I'm such an outsider, because I can only work alone, because I can hardly take the max. Because of all the technology that's around me, I get sick. I get really, really sick, and I have a very bad heart. So,
well, I hope you can find some neighbors to join in.
No, that's not what I need. No, I'm already doing what I need to do, because I get it directly from Mother Earth.
Okay, well, listen, Sylvia, this is really not germane, I think, to the thrust of the conversation. This could be a conversation for another time, and
I just wanted to say something regarding what's happening on the planet. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's quite all right.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye. We're trying to talk about what are we going to do about the situation in front of us. And we all are confronted by many, many, many interwoven problems in our individual lives. I could recount many, many situations that I see on a daily basis that frustrate the heck out of me. And I could talk about some right here at KABU, where people don't, you know, even recycle their aluminum, for example. I'm shocked and perturbed that there's so many ways that we just continue to act unconsciously and without a presence of mind in even the small details in our daily lives that actually could make some difference. When it comes to the spraying of herbicides and pesticides, it's just so rampant, it needs collective action to confront all these things. So who's our next caller? John, go ahead. You're on the air.
I've been on before, but I'll try to keep it brief. I could spew for an hour easily. I'm one of these people raised in Christianity that almost completely rejected it, but then found out different things and came back to it to a degree, but not to the current type of Christianity we have, but to the original teachings, which have been rediscovered in the last 100 years. And I've shared this with probably roughly 200 Christians over the years, the recent findings. And guess what number of those have shown any interest in what I'm saying? Zero. So they already have their truth, and they don't want to hear anything new or anything revised. And I'll share with you one of the Gospels that has all the stories of Jesus' youth and what he was up to before he started his...
And how does this relate to the subject at hand?
It's about truth.
Okay.
Jesus, on his way back to doing the Galilee ministry, went through 6 tests in the Egyptian mystery school. And 3 of the tests involved dealing with lying humans. So 3 out of the 6 tests involved what we're dealing with right now. And so it's a central problem to humanity, I guess.
And the question at hand is, what are we going to do about it?
Well, here's a current thing we can do. Two current things. One is right now NPR, Monday through Thursday for 100 days at 10 o'clock, has a new show called Indivisible, and you can call in. I could give you the phone number. Really eloquent people should call in at the beginning of the show. You won't get on if you call in late. And last night they had Mike Fahrenheit 9/11. I'm forgetting his last name.
Michael Moore, yeah.
Michael Moore, and he was super eloquent, man. He's always sharp on his feet. Here's another thing we could do, and if you'd like the phone number, I'll give it to you over the air. Here's another thing we could do. Consider rearranging KABU so it's more effective. I think, to me, I think of KABU as 3/4 or 7/8 musical shows, and I don't even like a lot of the music, so I'm not going to be listening 24/7. But I like some of the music. The show I really miss a lot was The Dharma Wheel, and that has
okay.
Really
so, so
played.
You're talking about rearranging. Give us one quick suggestion.
Well, you've got all your great programming in the morning, and that's fine if that's the way everybody's comfortable doing. Rebroadcast the same day like they do with Democracy Now at 4 o'clock. That's fantastic. Rebroadcast your best talk again in the evening. We don't, you know, here we have. Prime time in the evening, and sometimes you do have talk clear into the 7 o'clock hour, but often at 7 o'clock it goes to music. 7 o'clock to 10, that's prime time for most people.
Okay, so people, you're suggesting are to listen to Indivisible, the new program on NPR at 10, and to possibly consider adding some talk programming, some programming in the evenings.
You know, sometimes your show is so good it should be replayed again in the evening.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. I think rebroadcasting call-in talk is not necessarily the best idea, but I appreciate...
Well, have it live in the evening, whatever.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling. Those are a couple suggestions. So there are 2 twin suggestions are, what's really going on? Is this a corporate coup d'etat? Is this incipient some form a mutant neo-fascism? Does it need another name? Is the name important? It certainly is corporatism. It certainly is an acceleration of direct corporate control of the governmental process. There's no doubt about that, looking at Trump's cabinet, looking at his first actions. And as the first caller said, the involvement of the religious right, look what Mike Pence is bringing in, some of the tried and true religious right in the Trump administration. So, and his first executive order to limit the funding for any group worldwide which even says the word abortion. And I thought Holland was very a brilliant move to step in and say they will make up some or all of that funding. I think that's what needs to happen. The rest of the world needs to step up and show the United States that it is not really all that great indeed. So let's see. Our next caller, I believe, is Chris. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, so couple things. Thank you for the question. I think it's a great question. And, you know, I find myself asking the same question a lot. And so I'm really interested to hear other folks as well. On the issue of fascism, some friends of mine and I have been reading a lot of stuff. America at War with Itself by Henry Giroux is a great book that came out before the election of Trump, and I think it's a dense read. Henry Giroux's a philosopher and a deep thinker, but I think for those who enjoy it, you got to get this book. I think it was a very prescient work, and he could really see the machinations of fascism, authoritarianism, and totalitarianism really emerging, and really articulated that well.
Yeah, and he's got an article that just came out in Tycoon magazine called Normalizing Trump's Authoritarianism is Not an Option, which I also have printed out here in front of me. I might read a couple paragraphs from that. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and then I was listening to Michael Parenti talk about fascism as well, and, talking about the specific decisions that folks like Mussolini and Hitler made. And the arrangements and structures that they erected when they were in power that's what we call fascism. So let's look at those as case studies. I think a really great piece for folks to read to better understand what fascism is actually Mussolini wrote a work called The Doctrine of Fascism in 1932. So this was actually before, World War II, before either Italy or Germany had really fully kind of expressed, their fascist machinations. But he articulates it very clearly, and he's unabashedly, he uses the word totalitarianism. He uses the word authoritarianism and owns and embraces those terms. He also says that the fascist state, the state is everything. That the state doesn't need the people, but the people need the state. And the state articulates what is good, what is true, and what is right for all people. And the state is expressly controlled by a small group of people. And then when we compare what he said in 1932 with what actually happened, that's where we see the corporatism, right? So the people who became the state were the corporate interests. And although he never expressly articulated that it should explicitly be corporate interests or the business community, that is what ended up happening historically. So I think it's really imperative for folks who want to understand fascism to go, you can find that article online, The Doctrine of Fascism.
You know, one thing that I was thinking about this phrase, drain the swamp, and it was just nagging at me. And I thought, Mussolini, drained the swamps in the Lazio region, the Pontine Marshes. There's a whole, you go up and look on it on the internet. And I'm not the first. There's a number of people who caught this, and that's a small detail, but I tell you, I'm convinced he did that very, very knowingly. that Drain the Swamp is a direct reference to Mussolini.
And there's during the campaign, he said, I admire Mussolini. He said that right out. Right. I mean,
That's right.
That was why I was like, well, let's go to the source, because I know he's the one who coined the term. And luckily, I found the complete article out there on the Internet. So if you just Google Mussolini, the doctrine of fascism, you can find it for free. What can we do? So first, I think we need to educate ourselves. Second, we need to organize. We need to be having these conversations in every possible space with our colleagues, with strangers, in public spaces. We have got to look for ways to have this conversation and ask folks where they're at as a way of catalyzing our energies, you know, because the thing is that this fear that we've been living under, that's been quiet and we've been focused on just getting ours and the individualism and just go work so you can get money, so you can have fun. Underneath of that is a fear of other people. And if we don't talk to other people, we're not going to overcome that fear and realize that other people are just as afraid as we are. And so I think we've got to talk to each other about what we know as we educate ourselves, and then we've got to organize. So we've got to get on the same page. We need unity of thought, and that is going to help us to figure out what exactly we need to do on the ground and at the collective level. So, yeah, I think if totalitarianism is the pyramid of power in perfection, where the people at the top dictate everything for the people down below, we have to just invert that, and we have to say, no, this is people power.
Whoops, I guess we lost Chris.
And we're going to fight back.
Oh, we just lost a little bit. Well, anyway, thank you so much, Chris, and can't argue with anything you said. I agree with it. So let's go to our next caller, which is Brian. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Thank you again for your I concur with the other person that your show should be rebroadcast. So I really like the things you bring up. And the first thing that you said, I think, coming right out of the gate, was about Naomi Klein's shock doctrine. And I've just been, on Saturday when we were marching around, when I'd talk to people, I'd remind them about that book and the concepts in it. And I think that's what everybody should be aware of. And when I read that book, it was like a blueprint, or I don't know if that's the right word, but it put everything in its place that I had picked up in history as I grew up, things that had happened in the world that I couldn't quite figure out how they all fit together. That book did it. And I would recommend it to everybody. It's, I believe, what we are facing right now very clearly. The country's in a shock, and the vultures are going to swoop in, and then they're waiting for this opportunity. And we all need to kind of come together. And one of the things that I notice sometimes listening to KBOO, the different morning talk shows, is that classic liberal bent towards kind of dividing ourselves up. We're not a strong front often. We kind of tear down, you know, people that are for Black Lives Matter might see problems with people that are, say, quote, kumbaya white women or whatever the issue is. And at some point, we gotta come together, because there's no way we're going to make it through this in a good way unless we do. And that's often not the left wing's forte. And the other thing that one of the other callers mentioned was Indivisible. We were part of a phone-in the other day about how to get organized through Indivisible, working families, and Move On. And I would encourage people to join that movement. It's talking about how to get organized on the ground now, and that's what we need to do. We need to not talk more than we act. And the other thing that it comes to mind is Michael Moore. I think of him as being a really pragmatic person, and he often says that, you know, the other side is getting up at 5 in the morning, figuring out how to screw the poor people today. And so we need to match their enthusiasm in the other direction. You know, every day, do something small at least. I know that clicking on a Act Now up from Move On or Nation of Change isn't going to change the world, but if everybody does a little thing in the morning, call a senator, click on that Act Now, that'll make a difference. It's like turning off the lights. If everybody turned off the lights, we'd save a lot of energy. You know, it's a small act.
All right.
So those were the things that I wanted to say.
Great. Thank you so much for calling, Brian.
Yeah.
And before we go to our next caller, I just wanted to mention that I don't know if you all heard about this man who was shot at a rally, a protest against the appearance of Milo Yiannopoulos, speaking of fascists, at the University of Washington. The man shot this anti-fascist, a member of IWW. People didn't want his name mentioned publicly, but it has been, but I don't see any reason to do that. But the deal is this was on a January 22nd or 21st. The man and his wife surrendered to University of Washington police several hours afterward, claiming he fired in self-defense. He was questioned and released. He's not been charged as up to this point with a crime. Now, he shot a man who was initially in critical condition. I believe he shot him in the abdomen. Apparently, he's been upgraded. He's no longer in critical condition, thank goodness. This is a comrade. This is someone who I believe was, from the count I read, was rushing at someone who was firing these pepper pellets at people. I haven't really gotten a full account. I was trying to get someone who was actually there to be on this program to talk about it. So it's a this man was questioned and released. This man shot a person. What's happening? So I just wanted to flag that news item. Happened right up in our sister city, Seattle, just up the freeway from us. We're talking about what's really happening. Do we understand what's happening? Can we, quote, get on the same page about what's happening finally? Are we going to keep fighting about who lost the election, you know, all that? I mean, those are important things, too. Those are important things. You know, the Democratic Party is still trying to hold on. The corporate wing of the Democratic Party is desperately trying to hold on to its power, refusing to acknowledge, to learn the lessons of the election, putting way too much emphasis on this alleged, still not unproven, Russian hacking. And to the extent that it did play a role, still, I don't believe holds a candle to the twin disasters of running Hillary Clinton for president and doing all the machinations to keep Bernie Sanders from winning, and the scam of manipulating the elections from all the things that Greg Palast and others have uncovered. With all that, let's go to our next caller. Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll make this real brief. Thank God for Chris. He was really sticking on topic.
And didn't Brian, you already call in?
Yeah, but let me make this real quick. The music and programming on KBOO are impeccable. But if they're going to call in, focus on the subject, okay? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Good advice. Good advice. Focus on the subject. It is important if you're going to have a conversation to try to, you know, keep the conversation building together. That's one thing I hope we can learn through talk radio, is to how to have a collective conversation, because we're going to need to have more of them. If you haven't been involved in, you know, consensus meetings or any type of meeting where there's it's more horizontal and there's respect for everybody's voice, you're going to have to learn the lesson of really keeping to the topic and making it relevant. So that's a good point. So let's go to Richard, our next caller.
In regard to consensus, I was at the opening meeting of the Green Party learning consensus. So to speak to your question, do we know what's going on? The answer is no, and we all need to start finding out what's going on by looking at ourselves. And my suggestion about what to do about this is that we start to divest ourselves of our own corporatehood. And here's what I'm talking about. The Secretary of State in Oregon uses all capital letters to describe a corporate entity. And we need to start looking at our wallets and seeing how many pieces of corporate ID identify us as a fascist. And we need to start eliminating any of the unnecessary corporate baggage. And that includes the profession, the specific profession of being a driver or a U.S. citizen, a corporate U.S. citizen.
Well, actually, I was kind of going more in the direction collectively, what do we do together? These are individual acts, and I'm not sure how much influence they actually have on the trend towards a real corporate fascist takeover of our entire apparatus at the federal level, and that's certainly going to have an impact all the way down the line.
We have to localize our efforts, and I'm saying we are all Oregonians. Most of us are not truly the U.S. citizen that we have been led to think we are.
Well, I don't think you're really speaking to the topic that I introduced, so let's go to our next caller, which is Helen. Go ahead, Helen, you're on the air.
Hello. Well, number one, the Pope says, let's wait and see. And number two is that I have Twitter, and so I have a leak.
Let's wait and see for what?
He says, let's wait and see. You know, just let's wait and see what happens.
Why? It's already happening now.
Okay. So the other thing on Elite Daily today.
Wait, you didn't answer my question. It's already happening. What do we have to wait and see? What do we have to wait for?
Okay, I can't answer that part. I just told you what the Pope said, so I cannot answer that part anymore. So what?
Well, I'm a Waldensian, so I don't believe in the authority of the Pope. But anyway.
Okay. Well, all right. So anyway, I'm just not saying the idea of big Catholic or whatever, but I do think he is a good human being in a way compared to a lot of the other ones. But anyway, so they're saying that Trump is angry and bored. And what he likes to do is he likes to watch TV and the news programs all the time. And they've got a lot of work inside the place to try to keep him balanced. So just think, we're all upset and angry. Well, he is too. He got what he wanted, but he might not be able to even do this job.
That's what people are saying. I'm not sure I really believe that. I think that might be just another.
No. I think it's true. Like, he was going to fire the guy who comes out and, you know, does the new stuff. Well, he was going to fire him because of what he was wearing, this beige suit jacket. And so last night I saw the guy on TV and he had a dark fitting suit jacket on.
We only have 13 minutes left, and I really want to get some people who want to speak directly to the conversation we're having here. So thank you for calling.
Okay.
Let's go to Josh. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. It was difficult to get through. I wanted to make aware of there's a national effort to protest Planned Parenthood planned for February 11th. Have you heard about that?
No.
So it's a massive, actually worldwide, there's going to be protests at Planned Parenthood all over the country and other parts of the world. There's an action plan for 10 a.m. at the Planned Parenthood on Northeast MLK. So starting at 10 to 11:30, there's going to be a lot of right-to-lifers out there trying to get Planned Parenthood defunded. I would like to see a counter-protest triple the size of the people that are going to be out there protesting Planned Parenthood. So there's not a counteraction organized as of yet. I tried to make a Facebook page for it, but it didn't work last night. I'll try again. But if you could just get the word out to have people show up 10 a.m., ideally 9:30 early with signs at Planned Parenthood on Northeast MLK to show them that we support women's rights.
All right. There's a concrete suggestion. February 11th, 10 a.m., counteract the attempt to defund Planned Parenthood, which of course goes way beyond just Planned Parenthood. This is obviously one of the pillars in the the hybrid, well, it's not really a hybrid. Obviously, Mussolini had an alliance with the church as well. Very different context. But anyway, thank you for calling, Josh. Let's go to our next caller, Lynn.
Good morning. And I want to thank you for the shout out to the fellow worker, Wobbly, who was shot up in Seattle. From what I've heard, the contributions have been rolling in, so hopefully Solidarity is working on that. But I wanted to also bring up another concrete action that's happened today. Burgerville, as you may know, there's a unionization effort there, and they fired one of the union leaders last week in Vancouver over a 70-cent bagel that a manager forgot to charge him for. So there was an action today at the Burgerville.
Yeah, the worker actually ate, was thought he was being given a bagel by his his manager, and ate it, and then was accused of stealing the bagel, and then like the next day or later that day was fired for it. So the action again is when and where?
6:30, the Burgerville on Martin Luther King near the Rose Quarter. It's if you walk up the street from the Rose Quarter.
Yeah, I go by that all the time, right there on MLK. Yeah,
right there on MLK. 6:30, and I think it'll be a pretty good time. We really put out the.
And that's this evening.
I think it should be a real good time.
I said that's this evening.
Yes, this evening.
Okay, so this evening at the Burgerville, a concrete action to support a worker who apparently, from the accounts I've read, was unjustly fired. And thank you for calling.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And I thought it was Sherry first. No Sherry. If this is a Harry who calls in regularly, I've been asking for people who don't call in regularly. So take that into consideration. Hello. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Well, you shouldn't ban people like that. But
no, it's not a ban. It's just I asked at the beginning for just trying to encourage people who don't call in, because I think I want to have people get used to participating civically, and I know you do that on a regular basis. That's all.
Okay. Well, I don't think the subject about fascism. I think it's not fascism, but what President Eisenhower warned about the military-industrial complex. I think that's what's going on. Have you noticed his appointments? They're all military leaders.
No, they're corporate and military. They're both corporate and military. That's the nature of fascism. It's a merger of the military, the corporate, and the government all into one.
Yeah, but looking at his appointments, that's what's going on. And also, he did keep I don't know if you noticed that he did keep the FBI director. He's staying on.
Yep.
But I also noticed that Trump hasn't reached out to the other side, making some appointments that would on the Democrat side. There's a lot of retired Democrats and that can handle these posts, but he's not keeping anybody at all.
Well, of course not, because this is a total corporate coup d'etat. That's what's going on. We have to get it straight what's really going on. It's a corporate military fascist coup d'etat. If, you can call it neo-fascist. You can, maybe not like that term, but it does have descriptive power in that it points to this total centralization, total hierarchicalization, the elimination of any pretense of popular participation, any pretense that the corporations don't actually rule, and they don't rule through a ruthless application of police and military power. And who knows, maybe through vigilante. That's what Richard Spencer, the guy who got knocked in the head during the protests in D.C., he's now threatening, encouraging forming vigilante groups, because maybe he set it up for himself to do that. Who knows what's really going on? But anyway, that's what I see going on. I just don't see any other way of looking at this. I mean, I think we have to really seriously take a hard look at the realities of naked use of power. Maybe we all need to read Machiavelli. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now to switch the subject to health care, everyone's afraid of one thing they should be afraid of is caps. They might be putting caps back on your insurance policy, like $1 million, and that's it. Then you have to pay your own. And that's one thing Obamacare took care of was caps, and that might be coming back.
Indeed. Well, yeah, I mean, it's all you know, it's a fierce deregulation and privatization, and anything that hints at some sort of government protection of people's rights seems to be going out the window. But thank you for calling, Harry. And
okay.
We've got Sherry up next. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Paul. I wanted to say I literally didn't sleep well last night and woke up. And the first thing I said to my husband is, gosh, I just feel like I'm in shock. And just shock and awe. I was thinking of Naomi Klein's book, and then you came on and started talking. And I thought, this is so timely. But three things. One is I attended a rally at Merkley's office. It was actually a big shout-out thank you to him. And it was stand strong, do everything you can to oppose these ridiculous nominees. They're corporatists. We see that. And there was, I think, at least 50 people there. And I went there as a result of the national call-in that was put on by Indivisible. And everyone should go to the indivisible.com or .org website. And these are people who have nothing to gain. They're not making a dime on what they're doing, but you can download for free a booklet on this is what the Tea Party did. And these are people who sat, who were in Congress and watched how the Tea Party came and rose to power. And, like, there's a lot we could learn from them. And that's what Indivisible is. And so they're encouraging people to start groups all over. There's already a map all over Portland, little dots of little groups that have started. And it's just going to be a lot of actions and going to places and going to rallies and going to town halls and being heard every day and saying, you need to fight with everything you have, and we've got your back. Luckily, in our case with Merkley, it's like letting him know how many of us really, really appreciate what he's doing.
So another thing you're adding to the mix is actually supporting those politicians who do tend to seem to have some actual integrity, and we're definitely going to need some people inside as we build outside the system. We're definitely going to need to have some people inside who are still willing to fight the good fight there.
Right, right. Whenever I would see an email like, oh, sign our petition to thank so-and-so for doing the right thing, I thought, I'm not going to thank them for doing the right thing. That's what we elected them to do. We elected them to do the right thing. But I think in these cases, extraordinary times call for extraordinary actions. And now I realize it's important to let our politicians know when they do the right thing that we are behind them. They are not acting alone and that we've got their backs. And now I'm realizing it is really, really important to let them know that, you know, and each person that shows up or each person that calls an office represents, like, I don't know, 100 people in their calculations. That's how they figure, you know, how many people support them. So it's really important to make phone calls, much more important than pushing a petition button on the
internet. Okay, we only got a couple minutes left. I think we got one more caller to sneak in real quick.
Okay.
So thank you so much. Solaris, give us a quick point here.
Yeah, hi. Just a couple of quick things. I'm a solar energy specialist, and I have been for 25 years. I've crunched the numbers, and I would like to put a challenge out to the Oregon State solar manufacturers to do the same, as well as anybody who has some graphic art talent. And let's put a proposal together for the DARPL solar pipeline. I've crunched the numbers. It works out positive, more positive than any of the oil stuff that they're going to put together or try to get out of that. And if it were a solar pipeline, it would last 50, 75 years, making clean energy, thus, you know, good security for the government, that sort of thing. I think that would be a really fun, beautiful, you know, campaign to put together and see what we can come up with.
So ramp up the alternative energy, specifically solar power. That's going to have to be the last word for today. Thank you so much for calling. And this is Wednesday Talk Radio. Sorry for anybody else who didn't get on. I'm obviously, this touched a nerve, so we're going to have to keep talking about this. I believe next week we'll be talking more directly about the Dakota Access Pipeline situation, so stay tuned for that. And again, get ready for the first shocks of Trump's disaster capitalism by Naomi Klein. Another article, federal workers told to halt external communication in first week under Trump. Trump spokesman confirms Trump is a conspiracy theorist. This is how Donald Trump engineers applause. I'm going to link to all those articles and more at kboo.fm/Wednesday Talk Radio. That's my show. That's this program. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. And we're going to go out with a little more Billy Bragg. Thank you.
Talk about destruction. Don't you know you can count me in, out, in, out. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring for our Youth of Color Production Internship Program. This internship is open to people of color attending college and or under the age of 30. This is a 6-month internship for 20 hours a week for $20 an hour. Responsibilities include the selection and preparation of KBOO content for national distribution using a variety of digital audio workstations and helping to develop a digital content strategy for promotion of KBOO content. Deadline to apply is Friday, January 27th at 5 p.m. More information, including skills and qualifications, can be found at kboo.fm/productionintern2017.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Fix-It Fair, starting at 9:30 a.m. on Saturday, January 28th at George Middle School in Portland. Fix-It Fairs bring people together to learn simple and effective ways to save money and be healthy at home this winter.